Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of God's Word, which is our text today, is taken from Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter, beginning at verse 23. Jesus said, "At that time, if anyone tells you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive even the elect, if it were possible. See, I have told you in advance. So, if they tell you, 'Look, there he is in the wilderness,' do not go out there. Or, 'Look, here he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. Just as the lightning flashes from the east and shines as far as the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes." This is God's word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. I have an interesting decision to make, and maybe I could use your advice. You see, I was contacted by an important foreign dignitary who said that he had discovered some unclaimed cash in a bank account, and all he needed from me was just a little bit of my money to help him process this whole transaction. And it could be thousands upon thousands of dollars. And he promised me a cut, maybe even 10% of what he found in that account. We're talking a potential of a lot of cash. I might even be able to buy one of those fancy new cars. So what do you think? Should I send him the money? Now, obviously, that's one of those old email scams that's been around for a number of years and it's taken on different forms. One of the commonalities of all of those scams is that they promise this huge return for a really small investment. And something else those types of scams bring to mind is that old adage, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Now, if that is true, what do we do with the concept of Jesus coming back, Jesus' return? For us Christians, that's going to be a wonderful thing because we get to go and be with Jesus in heaven. But is it too good to be true? Jesus does warn us about things we have to watch out for, not to believe everything that we see or hear. How will we know when the real Jesus comes back? Now, Jesus speaks these words in the context of a longer speech in which really he's focusing on two things. One was the upcoming fall of Jerusalem, which would take place in AD 70. But he especially focuses in this chapter on his second coming, on the end of the world. He doesn't want his followers to be unprepared, and so he tells them what's going to happen before. He says that there will be wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and they'll be persecuted. When these things would take place, he says, then they could expect his return. But he also said that pretenders would come, false Christs who would try to convince people that they were the real article, that they were the true Messiah. We heard about that the other day in Chaplain Molstead's message. Jesus also says that false prophets would come, false teachers who would try to deceive people. These false prophets would preach a message that would sound good in many ways. Just listen to me. I know how to make your life successful. I know how to bring you true happiness. Just keep praying. Keep praying to God that he would bless you. Keep praying and send me a generous contribution for my ministry. And I promise you, I guarantee you, that God will bless you with untold material blessings. And these guys will be popular, Jesus says. Look, here is the Christ. Or there he is, we would hear people say. Here is the man who can bring you true happiness, who can bring you out of your miserable existence and give your life joy and peace. And to top it off, these false messengers would be able to work some pretty amazing signs. Jesus said that they would perform great signs and wonders. Years ago, I remember watching on TV some preachers who supposedly could work miracles. They could perform healings. During their church service, they would have the ushers bring forward people who needed healing of some sort. And they would lay their hands on them and voila, they were healed. There was even one preacher who got very creative. He sold little handkerchiefs with the imprint of his hand on them. And if you bought one of those and then you put it on your body wherever it was you were ailing, shazam, another miracle. Now, maybe we don't think we'd ever be so gullible as to get sucked into such a scam. And yet we chase after false teachers all the time, especially the one that resides right here in our heart. We tell ourselves that we deserve good things in our life. We don't deserve to have bad things happen to us in our lives because we're faithful followers of Jesus. We convince ourselves that we're ready for Jesus to return at any time without being cognizant of whether we're really living a life of repentance. We tell ourselves that we're just not that bad a person, and so we're ready at any time. But that sort of spiritual apathy could land us in hell. So quit looking at all of the flashy false teachers. Quit listening to the false teachers even within our hearts. Keep your eyes open for Jesus to return. When he comes back, it's going to be more than obvious. Jesus uses the picture of lightning flashing across the sky. Imagine it's a dark and stormy night and a magnificent bolt of lightning brightens the sky as bright as day. That's how obvious it's going to be when Jesus returns. No one is going to miss it. John says in Revelation, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him." Now, all of this sounds pretty fantastic, pretty amazing. But Jesus isn't coming back in such a spectacular way just to be a spectacle, just so that people have good material for their YouTube channel. He's coming back for a reason. Think about why he came in the first place. He came for you. He came so that you who were stuck in your sins and headed for hell, so that you could be rescued from that existence and given life. He came so that you whose ears the false teachers tickle with their slick words, so that you would hear the voice of your true shepherd. He came so that you who can't live without 1 minute of sinning, so that you could be given credit for his perfect life. A life that had no sin. He came so that you who were owing God your very life because of your sin, so that you wouldn't have to die because he would die in your place. He came so that you who will someday die, your body will rot in the grave, so that you could be raised from the dead, just as he was raised from the dead. That's why Jesus came in the first place. And he's coming again for you. Now, if you're dead when Jesus comes back, he's going to raise your body. He's going to bring you to be with him in heaven. If you're alive when Jesus comes back, he's going to take your body, change it to be like his glorious body, and take you to be with him in heaven. Either way, it is more than a big deal. For now, however, we don't have the amazing, the jaw-dropping sights, the spectacles. We have something quiet. We have Jesus talking to us in his word, giving us assurance of the forgiveness of our sins. We have the gentle stream of water that washes over us every day when we come to our Savior in repentance as we go back to our baptisms. We have simple bread and wine to which Jesus connects his very body and blood so that we have that assurance of forgiveness and life. We have Jesus with us right now. That's true. But Jesus is coming back to take us to our true home of heaven. Look forward to his coming. Amen.